Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy
on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome, Sidebar Cindy, with me, Cindy Swefansale. And this evening, we're speaking about femicide. The question I'm asking you is, have you lost a loved one at the hands of their partner?
Sidebar with Cindy.
On Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, you're listening to the home of the Afropolitan. And Cindy Swefansale is me. And we have Sidebar Cindy streaming live on Kaya TV. So do tune into kayatv.co.za. And this evening's topic is a very serious topic. It's an important topic. And we're speaking about femicide. I'm joined in studio by Umam Matlodi Angelina Magwetla, popularly known as Angie Magwetla. And she wrote a beautiful book, very sad, sad book, called Femicide, A Family Relives Its Pain. And I'm also joined in studio by Untate Tsepo Mokoena, who's the uncle of Karabo Mokoena. Her story made headlines a few years ago. She was murdered by her boyfriend. And we're speaking about how their lives have been changed forever by what has happened to their loved ones. We'll be taking your calls on 086-000-959. The hashtags on social media, SideBarCindy, and the other hashtag is KaiFM Talk. So I'd like to say thank you very much for joining me tonight. I'm NG and Ntate Mokoena.
Thank you.
So I'll start off with Angie, and I'll start off with just a bit of your background. I know that you came from a coloured township. You grew up in an area where your township was split into two. And I think when I read that, the reality of what apartheid did to South Africa really struck me. You know, I'm 43. I was born in Zimbabwe. My mom and her family had moved there from South Africa.
Okay,
but you don't really understand how serious things were until you read them the way you described them. You know, a township is split, different names are given. There's the African side, there's a colored side, and that's just it. You guys must live that side, you guys must live that side. Tell me a bit about that experience.
Oh, okay. No, when the calls start coming in. Okay, now, I was born in Madubulaville, as it was known then. A very mixed, a very nice small township, you know. I used to say you could walk from street to street in one day. And then with group areas, we were then moved. But I come from a very interesting family, and I always say that's a story for another book. Because my mother was very fair. My mother was very, very light and complete. And as we were growing up, the colored ladies in the township used to say, but why don't you become colored? Because you look like us. And becoming colored was very common during the days.
And beneficial during those
because,
days.
Yes, and then there were, and then the colors did not carry a ID book. They had an ID card. They did not have the Dompas.
The Dompas.
They had a little green ID card. So it was, so my mother then
changed.
Chose to become colored, like many other families. And then we moved, when the township got moved, and my mother was actually very reluctant. We were amongst the last houses to move. Our houses was then covered by weeds on all sides because most people had
moved by then. Yes.
Eventually, she agreed and we were moved to Toekomsrus. And I think that's where the dysfunctionality came in, because I don't want to talk about what happens, but you can see what's happening in the Western Cape. You can see what's happening in Westbury. I'm not saying that African townships are better, but things seem to be a bit worse in the so-called, because colored people that are clued up don't want to be called colored. They will say so-called colored, but there are those who and we don't mix very easily. But anyway, that is the story. So we then moved to Tukis. So when I say I am going home, like this Saturday, I will be in Toekomsrus talking about femicide to a whole group, including a group called WAWA, Women Against Women Abuse. However, when I talked to my publisher, Dr. Judy Lamini from Spiso Publishers, she said, you know what? We must stop this thing of women talking amongst themselves. So now, instead of talking, because we initially I thought we would do intergenerational dialogue sessions.
Yes.
And he said, let's rather call them intergender, so that the men also come in. The young men in particular. The fathers must come
and this
in.
Is, and this is why I'm happy that we have Undate Mgwena here. Because his organization, Boys to Men, speaks to young men.
Yes. You see, the fathers must come and listen to how we propose that boys should be brought up.
Mm.
And then the young men themselves should come. Because, you know, like Utatu Madiba said, you can be taught to hate and you can also be taught to love.
Mm.
So young men can come
Socialization
and,
makes a very big
and
difference.
Hear about the damage. It's not just femicide. It's just gender-based violence in general.
Mm.
Just abuse in general. It is very, very destructive. We are destroying the young men of this country. You know why? Because they grow up around violence. I heard a young man say, umfazi wami ubengidelela, ngabona ukuthi it's high time ukuthi ngimshaye. So ukhule ebona ukuthi umfazi nayidelela uyashaya. Ubonephi?
And I always say, Mam Angie, ukuthi you can't do what you don't know. Right.
Yes.
So if you grew up in an environment where, you know, women get beaten up, your father beats up your mom, or your uncle beats up his wife or his partner, that's all you know.
Not just inside the house. Sorry to interrupt. Not just inside the house. In the environment. No, that's... And you know the other thing? Tina abo mama. Nashatisa. Sitisilaya abantwana. Asbalaisi ababulala. Because then we say to the young woman, "Ungabuyila, wamagwetla akukho divorce."
And you spoke about this in your book. You spoke about the shame of being a returned soldier.
Yes, yes, it is very, very dangerous. And then we also say, "Indoda ayibuzwa." You know, we take the man. He's sitting there, by the way, with his new wife. We take him. We put him on this pedestal. And then we say silly things like, "Bonna kiselepe wa kadimisano." It drives me berserk.
Yeah.
We must stop.
And we need to change that.
We must stop that language. Even the songs that we sing at weddings. There's a song, you know, I'll give an example. Khunyala ukoma kwetla ke maemo. Rubbish! Akuna maemo asipe, man.
And you know, Mam Angie, at one stage of your book, you said that your then husband threatened to kill you. And for you, that was it.
That was now my niece's.
Oh, so your niece made a decision after what your family had gone through. That
I
I'm
have
not.
A niece, I have a niece, very clever girl, and I love her to bits.
But she's clever because of what your family went through. That you it took
she
those
got scared.
Those two painful experiences to help her make the decision that she made. And and I suppose you're. And I'm happy that you've written this book because we don't want anyone to have to go through what your family went through to make decisions that save their lives.
In 4 years' time, two women. Short space of time. But you know, my mother was so blessed. My mother was a praying woman. My mother passed away in 2000. This girl, Lo, Antoinette, was my mother's lad lamichi, my mother's
baby
child. She would have died. But my mother passed away in 2001. She follows. In fact, one of her friends, when she came at Los Sidisa, she said, you know what? I saw you mourn your mother, but you did it in such a way, you know, it wasn't as painful because my mother was 84 when she passed away.
Oh, but it still hurts. Oh, it's,
yeah, it still hurts, but you still say she lived her life. This one, we were crazy, especially because we had to go and fetch the children at these flats that were so scary.
Oh,
so scary. We could hardly see where we were going. Because in those flats, right up to now, if I took you there tomorrow, still the same.
Young Sebenza Konamamanja, I worked at Helen Joseph Hospital.
Uh-huh.
I worked at Rahima Musa Hospital.
Yes.
And that the Westbury area, the Newlands area is very bleak. It is very bleak.
It's dark. The windows are broken. It is the most depressing place. That's where my mother's child went to live.
Mm.
Following love, she thought.
Well, you know, somewhere in the book you do mention that it's not written on anyone's forehead that this person is a killer. I mean, you said how it was difficult for you to go to weddings because you're thinking, what's going to happen to that woman? What if her partner ends up killing her?
Scary, scary. That when we bring up our beautiful girls, we are bringing them up to be victims of murder. Femicide is just plain murder. I think, in fact, by calling it femicide, it is murder. It is the killing of a woman by a partner. And what makes it very sad is that this woman that dies thought she was in love. My mother told my sister, this man is going to kill you. Oh. And she used to say, but you people don't understand how much I love her. And she kept going back and back, and she came out in a coffin. That's what happens.
And then the aftermath, the damage that's wreaked on the family. I think when I read Crystal's portion, because the way your book is written, you've interviewed each member of the family, yes. and they've related their story. And I think the only person that you haven't interviewed is your sister.
My sister, I could not interview. Matute's mom,
yes.
I could not interview because I know the pain. She's still going through that pain. Dr. Judy then offered. Honestly, bless her soul, she offered. She said, I know, but the book will not be complete without
her. Yeah,
so
without her relating her story.
She went all the way to Kutsong in Carltonville. And she went and interviewed her.
Well, let's just come back to the story. And I think we'll start off with Nettie's story. The way you explained everything, she was a lot lamaki, she was cute, and then she went to school, she was loud, she was just like the life of the party. And her first marriage didn't work out. Then she marries this guy that she thinks is a great guy. They move to Westbury, and very quickly the abuse starts surfacing in the relationship. And the signs were there. You guys spoke to her and she still stayed.
In fact, I think we were not fully aware. Now, if you read Berin's story,
she talks about
the abuse. She even talks
and the drug and the drugs as
and
well
and the drugs and how these men used to sit on the stoop and pulling this pipe and using this bottle, and she could hear
they would spit into the bucket of water.
How do you bring up a child in such a place? So, and she also talks about somebody beating up her uncle and her dad just
threw him over the balcony.
Over the balcony. And then, she had found some crayons and she started writing on the wall, and her father just picked her up and dropped her. That is so abusive. But we didn't know. I don't think I would have been able to do anything to her. I wouldn't have been able to say to her, come and live with me, the way I said to Linky, run, take the children and come home with me. And I saved her life. She's alive today. She's written a chapter in here. She's the one that went to the prison for the
parole hearing
of this man that killed her. Because they do come out on parole.
7 years. So he was sentenced to 15 years and he came out after 7 years. And I think that chapter was very difficult because it speaks about forgiveness. And you don't think about it. You don't think that a person that is convicted and sentenced can come out and have a parole hearing, get to meet the family and ask for forgiveness. Because Ujo had apologized and then he blamed it on drugs. And, that must have been very difficult.
But by then, Nina, I had already forgiven him. I forgave him the day we went to court because almost my whole family was there.
For the sentencing?
Yes. And when I heard of his background, he grew up rough. He grew up in...
with his grandmother.
He grew up in reformatories from about the age of 6. And then his own mom committed suicide. He burned herself. So he had her. But, it's no excuse. But then he went on to... So when we left the court, I said to the family, I have forgiven him. Yo,
Apansekashaya.
Ah, how dare you? Forgiveness is between two people. I actually felt sorry for him. And he said himself in court that this woman is the only person that ever loved me. And I went and I killed her.
And you have to pick up the pieces after that.
Yes.
And he's out now, and I know that he hasn't made any contact with your family since.
No, he has, actually. He has, because the youngest son actually now lives with the dad, because he is such a challenge. He's challenged all of us in the family.
He was 3 when his mom passed away.
He's now 22. Mm. Such a handsome young man. So handsome. I'm trying to guide him. I think I've found him something. He loves cooking.
Okay.
He loves baking.
Okay.
So he got into a pastry chef school somewhere at Maboneng. One day he stood up in class and I think he just told the teacher where to get off and didn't mince his words. So he's been kicked out. So
with no chance of going back?
No. They don't even want to see him.
So what next for him? Yeah.
I'm trying to get a young woman that I go to church with who says she's opening up a baking school. I hope he's learned his lesson. And I love him to bits and he knows it.
He was very young when everything happened. I mean, he has no recollection of whose mom is. And that's probably why he's acting out.
The sisters are fine. Oh, the sisters are 2 ladies, my dear. They've managed to recover. They're married. Doing well. Doing well.
But you carry the pain in your heart forever.
Oh yes. Berin says, in fact, she says in the book, her mom used to make a joke that if you ever go to bed without washing the dishes, even when I'm dead, I'm going to come back at night and wash those dishes. Up to today, Berin will not go to bed without tidying up the kitchen.
Because she remembers her mom's
Nettie will come back.
So, Mom Angie, how difficult was it for you to write Femicide? I mean, you had to speak to your family. You had to tell them what you had planned. You had to get them to agree to be interviewed.
I didn't discuss it with them. I just started writing. Took me 15 years. And then I would write a chapter and then I would think, okay, I'm strong today. I'm going to continue. And then I break down and then I leave it.
Mm.
And then one day I was invited during, I think it was 16 days of activism. I was invited to CIPC. Mm-hmm. It used to be called CIPRO, where they register companies.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, now I'm strong. I'll take a part of... I didn't even finish that chapter. So it has been... Even now, there are chapters that still make me weep. So it was very, very difficult. But I thank God that I did. Because you know what it has done? It has taken that pain out. I've put it out into the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why when people say, please sign my book, I always say, thank you for sharing my family's pain.
Mm-hmm.
It has made it, it honestly has made the load a little bit better.
And it's going to bless many people. I think when people read this book, they'll see the signs and symptoms of dysfunctional relationships and make decisions that will save their lives.
Yeah, but that's not good enough. I want this country to change.
Well, one book at a time, Mom Angie. This is a start.
I want our young people to be happy. When they get married, they must know. When the priest says, until death does you part, they must know. Not this type of death, for goodness sake. A natural death. People must be married for 50, 60 years. And live happily and have children and bring up sane children with the proper values. Right now, I don't know what we are bringing up, because it's a vicious circle. Exactly, yeah. Children see violence, they become violent.
And look, we'll have to intervene at an individual level, at a community level, at a school level. All of us have to pull together to make a difference.
Yes, but I don't know, somehow this year even the president is now taking serious. He's put aside 1.something billion to fight gender-based violence and violence against children.
Mm.
That is another very soft spot, because as a commissioner of the Human Rights Council, I am in charge of child rights.
Mm.
So violence against children touches me.
So we'll be back after this break. We'll be taking your calls on 086-000-959. When we come back, I'll be chatting to Ntate Tsepo Mokoena, who is related, the uncle of Karabo Mokoena.
Sure.
And he also has an organization mada.org.za. It's called Boys to Men, but you can go to it at mada.org.za, and he'll be telling us, you know, why he formed that organization and the work that he's planning on doing. And of course, he'll be sharing, you know, some of the story of what the Mokoena family went through after Karabo was murdered by her boyfriend. But keep watching on kayatv.co.za and keep listening. I'll be back after this.
Because a conversation a day is exactly what the doctor ordered. Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, you're listening to the Home of the Afropolitan with me, Cindy Sue Fansale. And this evening, it's a Wednesday, so every Wednesday we stream live on kayatv.co.za, and this is why you know, you're able to watch us. And on Sidebar, Cindy, tonight we're speaking about femicide. And I'm joined in studio by Mama Angie Magwetla, who wrote a book, Femicide. So you must please get a copy. It's a very touching book where she relates her family's pain. So they lost two family members in the space of 4 years to femicide. And I'm also joined in studio by Untate Tepo Mokoena, who's the uncle of Karabo Mokoena, who was murdered a few years ago by her boyfriend. So in the second segment of the show, we'll be chatting to Untate Mokoena about how his family has dealt with what happened to Karabo, and and just what has happened in the past few years. We'll also be chatting about his organization, which is helping young men, young boys and men. And it's called, if you want to go to the website, it's mada.org.za, and you know, hear what work he's doing. So I'm glad that you're here, Ntate Mokoena, as I said earlier on, to discuss this very challenging topic. I mean, you know, we've just heard Umama NG relate what her family went through, and I'm sure your family is still you know, recovering, and it's not even a recovery, because you don't ever get over grief, but you go through emotions and you evolve and you change, you know, as each year goes by.
Yeah, well, in fact, subsequent to that, I was actually speaking to my brother, because Karabo was my brother's daughter.
Yes.
But my sister, I just want to divert a little bit to say maybe we should have a moment of silence for these young ladies who died through femicide. Mm. Can I mention their names? I'm not going to mention, you know, I think it's Lindy Qimbi, Nonki Smart, Zodile Khumalo, Kensani Masako, Karabo Mokoena, River Steenkamp, Poppy Kwabe, and many more. Mm. And let their soul rest in peace. We'll continue to fight and make sure that we bring this gender-based violence to an end one day. It will come to an end. I know it's something that is growing, but the likes of Mama and the others, we...
And you as well, with the work that you've been
doing. Yeah, we every day fight. You know, nobody's paying us to do it.
Mm.
But we do it because maybe it's because we are bearing the pain.
Yes.
We know how it is to lose the loved one. Mm. You know, sometimes I get criticized to say, no, you know, you want to make yourself famous, this on radio, television. I just keep quiet. But... if you think of Karabo, Karabo was more like my daughter, because my son, Katlego and Karabo, actually, they were born on the same year.
So they were the same age.
You understand? So they were same age. I used to take them to crèche. I used to take them to school. Mm. You understand? So Karabo was more like my daughter. You understand? That's why when I heard that she's missing, I'm the one who went to the social media and said, can you please help me to find my daughter? And that's why a lot of people were confused to see whether I'm the father or not. But I went all out and made sure that even when the perpetrator was trying to be smart, I fought that he must be arrested. I fought that he, you know, I did my best to make sure that there was justice.
Yes.
You know, because of the pain. And once you have not felt the pain, you don't understand. But maybe let me go back to I know Karabo died 2017.
Yes.
But in 2016, I started a program called the Boys to Men Mentoring and Career Path. And I went all over to look for sponsorships and everything. And every door I knocked
was closed.
They were saying, no, this is, we're talking a girl child here. You know,
and that's unfortunate, yes, because we, they were, we just, have, you know, spent a lot,
but I was,
of time,
I was, I was
child.
Trying. It was like, it was like, it was like a vision, and I was saying, "Hey,
let's do this.
Let's wake up. We are busy raising young boys who are angry. Yeah. Young boys are angry. You look, you go to schools, they carry guns, they do funny things, they smoke, they rape young girls. They are angry.
Let's help them.
Yes, they need help. Okay? And some of them, they are raised with, by single mothers. Some of them, they don't even know their fathers. So the anger comes from so many different things. But others is because of the influence they get.
Yeah.
Mm. So they, you understand? Mm. Like Mama said that if you are raised by a single mother, and the very same single mother is beating in front of you as a young man, what is it that they are doing to you? Mm. They are actually transforming you to be violent. They are changing your character. Okay? So, this whole idea of young boys being angry, it is how they are raised.
So, your organization, okay, you were going to take them in and...
No. I've got 145 boys now. Mm-hmm. I started them in 2016. No, I raised funds. I managed to raise funds.
And what program do you run for them?
I've got a program called the Boys to Men Career Path and Mentoring. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we channel them. I started with 45 boys, mm-hmm, in 2016.
Any age or
no, they were at grade 9.
Okay,
no,
right.
I started them at grade 9.
Yeah.
And now they're in matric. In fact, I actually gave 10 of them bursaries because they are doing extremely well. When I started with some of the boys, but I took 5 boys from each province.
Okay, and about Ketaganjan, yes, do they have to apply?
No, there's a criteria.
Okay,
there's
all
a
right.
criteria. You must be a boy raised without a father figure. Okay. You must be a boy who's doing well in maths and science. And obviously, you must be a boy that is well mannered. Obviously, issues of manners is here and there. But then what we do during the day, we have partnered with UNISA and the Tshwane University of Technology. And now we're sitting with about 5, 6, 7 companies that are supporting us. Mm. You know, it's SAP, Into IT Tech, Coca-Cola, there are so many. Then during the day, what we do, we just take them into programs that build their career path. Mm. But in the evening, because they come to Johannesburg for 5 days, we book them in the hotel for 5 days. Mm. So in the evening, we then invite influential men
to come and talk to them and motivate them.
And some of them actually adopt them. Mm-hmm. Not staying with them, but just to make sure that when they don't have shoes, they buy them. When they need to talk to someone, they can WhatsApp and all, because we also have a WhatsApp group. In 2016, there were 45. Now we're 2019, I've got 145. So I've got grade 9, 10, 11, 12. So the intake, they're actually graduating.
That's amazing.
They're going to university next year. And let me tell you, some of them, when I actually brought them in, they were at 35% on maths. Wow. They are at 90, wow. 85. They are doing bad. Let me tell you, it was not an easy journey.
Yeah. But this is how a person can make a difference at an individual level.
Yeah.
So every one of us can make a difference. Yes. But before we carry on, Dr. Mukwena, we have a caller, Jacob, who wants to comment on the topic of femicide that we're discussing tonight with Umama Angie Magbetla and Dr. Tsepo Mukwena. Hi, Jacob, and welcome to Sidebar with Cindy.
Hi, Susanji.
Hi, good evening.
This is Cindy. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Jacob. Thank you so much for holding.
Yeah, all right. Look, I'm not sure if mine is going to be relevant with the topic of today, but I think it's associated in some way. I'm a father to a 16-year girl that I'm raising together with a mother. We're staying together. My challenge is that I think I've just committed a crime this morning, because this girl, actually, my daughter, went missing in several occasions. I went there with the police. We located where she was. When we got there, we found that, you know, she's in a company of boys and there were drugs involved, Daha, and all sort of things. And I'm listening to this topic and say that, look, I fear for her life because I went there with the police. I could not actually manage to open it because I wanted to initially open a case of statutory rape. But when I made a research, I found that, you know, the consent age in South Africa is actually from the age 16. And my daughter is actually, she turned 16 on the 24th of January this year. Now, the police said to me that, look, we cannot take that case because in any way, your daughter is here and she's confessing that she's the said boy is the boyfriend. And that was not the first incident. You know, I've been at school, I've taken her for counseling. I have done everything in my power as a father, you know. But this morning, last week she went again and we went to find her with, you know, a police friend of mine. And unfortunately, again, I could not open a case because I wanted to open a case of kidnapping. I found her in a company of two boys. I don't know whether she was gang raped or what was happening. And then, you know, the said boyfriend was part of, you know, that gang. But unfortunately, my daughter protected her. I could not identify that boy. Now, what happened is that because I could not actually open a case based on what the police, you know, their scope of work, does not allow them. I mean, if she's there and she's saying, this is my boyfriend, it's frustrating because the police won't take that case. Okay. And I understand.
Now, okay, so Jacob. Okay, so what I'll do. Okay, so what we'll do. I'll take your number. I'll get your number from the producer, and we will get in touch with you and put you. I mean, I know a lot of people that could probably assist you in your situation. So just make sure we get Jacob's number. We have Utabiso calling us from Joburg. Hi Utabiso, and welcome to Saipo at Cindy. Okay, so we've lost Utabiso. Tatimukwena, you can hear that Jacob is very distraught about what's going on.
But
obviously we need a proper social worker intervention in that circumstance.
Yes.
But I hear Babu Jacob, all what he's saying is I. It's not we.
Yeah. So we'll have
what about the wife? Is he fighting this battle alone? Because you know sometimes when I go around, you'd find that as a father, you are trying to resolve certain problems and issues about your daughter. But, and then you'd find that you've got a third force, which is actually your wife, who's going back to your daughter and say, no, you can go, man. You know, sometimes it does happen. So you see, I'm not too sure with him to say, is he fighting this battle alone? Or is he fighting
the battle? Well, the relationship dynamics can be discussed later on, but I mean, we still need to make sure that we intervene in some way and at least get his daughter the help that she needs.
Yes.
And so coming back to you, Ntate Mkwena, just on the issue of forgiveness, I mean, Mama Angie spoke about the forgiveness, how she was able to forgive the man that murdered her sister. How has your family walked the path of forgiveness, if at all, at this stage?
Well, I cannot talk. I think my brother hasn't made that much peace with what happened. Because if you still remember, the perpetrator was always saying horrible things about my brother, that my brother was not the loving father and all that. But maybe it's something that we one day need to sit down and talk about that. But personally, I wouldn't forgive that young man until I meet him face to face. I want him to tell me, why did you kill my daughter? What was in your mind? What was happening? You know, I just want an explanation. And you know, until I get that.
And you feel that.
And I feel it. But for now, because I don't.
Closure.
I want the closure, but I can't find, because I don't know what happened. Because even when you went to court, there were so many stories, you know. And what hurts me most was, even when the case was closed and finalized, he still said, I did not kill Karabo. Mm.
And maybe his remorse will come after many years of being in prison.
Yes.
You know, the same way that, you know, when Ujo had finally, you know, said that he's sorry, asks for forgiveness, and just because of the drugs and so on, maybe his turning point will come after a few years in prison.
Yeah, Yeah, but for now, you know, I don't think I've made peace with that. Mm-hmm. Yes, and more so, you see lots and lots and lots of women are being killed every day. You know, every day I get like 3, 4, 5 WhatsApp messages. Mm. Can you, Uncle Tsepo, you know, can you please come help? I sometimes go to the police. You'd find some of the perpetrators, they will get bail, and some they'll, you know, it's just a mess. I mean, you look at this young man who shot the young girl who was given 2,000 bail. You shoot the young girl in the morning, 2 o'clock, you've got bail. I mean, it means the life of a woman is cheap. I can shoot and call a lawyer and get away with it.
Well, you know, we need to let the law take its course. I think, I mean, that's what I always say as a medical doctor, that yes, things may not always go the way we want them to go immediately, but the law must take its course. Mm. And it's painful. It is very painful when something like that happens. Mm. But we need to let the law take its course.
Yes, I agree. But what I'm trying to say, as a father who's a police officer, somebody took out a gun and shot off an innocent lady, and you still let him go just like that. I mean, where's the conscience? And that's why a lot of people are saying we have ourselves to be blamed as men. We must forget about this issue of victims, because I think women have said enough. Women have marched. Women have done. This is about time that perpetrators too must start talking to themselves.
Well, gender-based violence is a male issue.
Doing?
You know, yeah.
Yeah, yes. But remember, we most of the time we don't talk about perpetrators. Mm. It's only women who'd walk. I mean, you look at it's only women who are screaming for help and everything. But you can even now go on social media. I can tell you that you'll find very few men who'll phone. It's only women who'll actually phone and cry out and tell the whole world that we are being raped, we have been abused, you know, and all that. But
what do you think is the cause of that? Mama Angie, what do you think is the cause for that? There are not that many men that will come up and be fighting alongside us. And
I think we need a lot of advocacy. We need a lot of education. We need, you know, these dialogues. We need to talk. Hmm? We need to come together, talk about it, sensitize men to say beating up a woman is out. And you see, the criminal justice system also fails women. I don't know how many women will tell you that, oh, I went to the police.
To get a protection,
and they told me, go home and sort it out. Or the woman had a protection order and she still died with that protection order. The police also need to be educated. They are also men. Unfortunately, South Africa is so patriarchal. The men own the women.
Yeah.
Hmm? And also, the other thing that we need to do, especially, Ndate Mokoena, you are looking after boys, the music that our children listen to. If I can't have you, nobody else can. So, I'm going to kill you so that nobody can touch you.
So, hold that thought, Mama Angie. Ndate Mokoena will be back after this break on Kaya FM 95.9.
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy. Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Welcome back to Sidebar with Cindy, with me, Cindy Sue Francaile. We're also streaming live. It is a Wednesday, so go to kayatv.co.za and watch us there. I'm joined in studio by Mama Angie Magwetla, who's written an amazing book, very sad book, reliving her family's pain. It's called Femicide, and this is where she tells a story of how she lost her sister and her niece. 4 years apart, they were both brutally murdered by their partners. And I'm also chatting to Ntate Tsepo Mokoena, who's Karabo Mokoena's uncle. Karabo passed away 2 years ago. She was also murdered by her boyfriend. And femicide is real. Femicide is something that we're grappling with in South Africa. And I think, as you said, Mama Angie, earlier on, 2019 has been particularly tough in terms of of women being, you know, being murdered by their partners, and also just gender-based violence. I'm not sure if it's social media that has made us more aware, but 2019 feels as if it's been a lot with regards to that. And before we went to the break, Tate Mokoena, we were talking about you mentioned your organization and what it aims to do. And Mama Angie was speaking about young men and, you know, the influence in their lives and how we should be looking to change those influences in their lives.
Yeah. I think what I was trying to touch on was the issue of how we men discuss. The simple example that I made was that in most cases we'd always discuss how gorgeous is this woman, I want to sleep with this woman. You know, we never sit down and then on saying, no, what you're saying about this young woman, this woman could be your daughter, or this woman or something. You know, I made a simple example, Mama, to say I went to a friend's place and we went for business, and then we saw this woman. I think it was the wife to our business partner, gorgeous, wearing sexy the way she wants to wear. I mean, it's her house and everything.
She can dress how she wants.
She can dress how she wants. You understand? But I was stressed because when we jump into the car, we're supposed to conclude the meeting and everything. And my partner was now talking about how pretty and gorgeous in that woman. And her, and his last statement, I'm taller than I don't. And I said, Chief, but how can you say such a thing to a wife of a person that wants to give us business? So basically, we men, we talk about we talk about these things. You understand?
And it's good to go to umkuzile.
Yes,
it starts there with you guys reprimanding each other for the way that you speak, the behavior, the comments that you make.
But we don't. We don't. We don't. I mean, it's like if I come to another guy and ngithi umfazam uyangihlupa whatever. Do you know the general norm is, here's a gun.
Why am I shy?
You understand? Yeah. You get what I mean. I mean, that is how we communicate. So that actually goes in, even into our younger boys and all that. So we have this thing in our mind that if a woman gives you problems, or you think she gives you problems, the solution is violence. You understand? Umshaye is the right word between us. You don't find men sitting around saying, guys, can we stop this thing of beating women? I've tried so many times where I would call men and say, guys, can we stop talking about women? Can we stop about talking about issues of sex and this and that? And you understand, can we then start talking about how we can end gender-based violence? Let me tell you, none of them will actually talk. They'll either go to the toilet or avoid you. And you understand, maybe it's because of some of them are perpetrators. You understand?
True.
But the only way we can actually end this thing is when we men talk amongst ourselves.
Absolutely.
About this
thing. It has to start with you guys talking.
But it's in reverse. Because when a man goes to another man about the problem he has with the girlfriend or the wife, the answer is, how can we plan to murder that woman? Or I can give you how you can and all that. You understand? So that's patriarchy, because maybe somehow we were raised that if ungashaya umfazi wakho, you are an idiot.
And I think Mama Angie touches a lot on that in her book. I think that theme comes through when you look at the relationships between you know, your niece and your sister and their partners. There was a lot of that. Taylor was a very violent, violent man.
In fact, and I was right from the beginning. But I think also some of us also as women, we find it shameful to speak out that I am being abused or my child is being abused. I think that's how we've been socialized. You know, like we say, don't hang your dirty linen in public. Indaba zasekamereni ziphelele ekamereni. We need to really deal with it. But you know, this task is huge.
It's a huge task. But we have to start somewhere.
It is not easy. And talking about men always wanting to talk about sex. We need to talk about sexuality. Sex is not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take a call from Utabiso. Hi, Utabiso. Welcome to Saipo at Cindy.
Hello, doctor.
How are you?
I'm calling yourself.
Good, thanks. Thank you so much for holding and thank you for calling.
Okay, yes, thanks for taking my calls. Okay, Dr. Man, this thing is a problem. Because of what happened was, Sunday, as I was going to fill up my petrol, then I was with my partner and daughter. So as I was crossing, I could see there was a guy hitting a woman. So, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Utabiso.
Yes. So I reversed the camera. But I was like, no, man, leave those people alone. I'm like, you know what? I know I'm traveling with my daughter, and I don't want to expose her to violence. So, but it would be bad if tomorrow I hear that woman
has been killed, yes.
So I left my car, and then I stopped there. And then I said to the, hey, man, what are you doing, guys? What are you guys doing? Yes, as that lady, you could see it was going, I freed her. She was like, hey, this guy, he every time he was busy chatting with a psychic and what. And then I'm like, and then hey, guy, what's happening? Why are you hitting me? No, this is one Joella, one Joella. I mean, it's her body. Why can't you understand? It's her body. And if your relationship is not going anywhere.
Sure.
Oh, what I said, ahead. Okay, but anyway, I can stop. I go to fill up my petrol tank. I go back, I turn on the TV. We are children, it's just another violence. So much as we are reprimanding men, we should also reprimand women because of mathematics has taught me that what you do on the left hand side, do on the right hand side. Immediately there's an equality. Immediately there's no balance. That's where the problem lies.
Okay, thank you so much for that call, Utabiso. Mama Angie, comments on what Utabiso was sharing with us.
Stopping the violence then. As he was talking, I was imagining what happened then when they went home. Because I don't think it's much that this poor man could have done.
Well, and you worry about your life as well.
And you can't take the girl and say, come, I'm taking you to the police. You know? We need task teams. We need you as doctors, psychologists, social workers, even religious leaders. We need to come together. We need to this thing, as I said, is not easy. It's not going to end now. But we cannot continue reading, hearing about these cases of femicide. It has got to stop somewhere. But it will stop through our own actions.
Yeah, Mom, you know, Mom Inge, when as this guy was talking about your Jola 99 and all that, you know, sometimes you must look at what you have done as a man, you know, so that you can correct yourself, because you can't keep correcting other people. You know, even those things that, you know, what men say when they are together. I'm not trying to be an angel. I've done them. And that's how I know about them.
And it's good to admit
that. I've admitted that I've done them and I can change. But let me tell you, there's another scenario that, you know, it's something that I thought about 6 months ago. And it's happening. That when I was a young man, I actually bought a car at a very early stage, okay? And I was dating this young girl. And the father didn't want this young girl to go. Every time I'll find the father at the gate, I'm gonna make I know it. But you know who used to make a plan with you? I must take out the young girl over the weekend. It was the mother. Because then the girl will go to the auntie and I would know the address, yeah, auntie. And Umlanda go auntie, do whatever I want to do over the weekend. Sunday, Umshiaga auntie. Then the father will know that Umtuana bega go auntie. But the discussion between me and the young girl, you know what was it? It was the father. Because I was young and I wanted this girl and the father was saying no. And by
he
then
was the
I
didn't, he was the top nonsense.
Yes, and by then I didn't have a child. I didn't know. Now it's, those things they are coming back to me because I've got a daughter. I've got a beautiful 14-year-old daughter. Those things are coming back to me to say, you. Rea Baba was trying to protect
his daughter.
His daughter. Yes. You understand? And now I was a young man hating another man who's trying to protect Mtwana wake.
It's always very interesting on this realization.
Yeah, you understand?
Men who only after yes. they've had daughters. They have you must. Daughters. I think that awakening yes. must come even before yes. you but, have kids. But okay, you know, yeah, at least we're here.
Yeah. You know? But you know what? I then start realizing, Guti, actually the mother was giving away the daughter to me because clearly, you understand? Because I know the Baba was now an enemy to me. But the mother was now making a plan. Because then, what if Bengshayile Ntombazana somewhere, somehow?
What if he had killed her?
Or what if I've killed her? So, how were they going to report? It means the mother and the aunt were going to protect me because the secret was going to be out.
Yeah.
Or what if Bengim Shai with bruises? Then they would have changed the story. Mm. You understand? So somewhere along the line, you know, as Abo Mama, maybe you must start working hand in glove with the father. Yes, the father might be unemployed and everything. Mm. And sometimes, you know, the issue of hunger is the biggest challenge, because if the father is unemployed and there's no food in the house, such things will come. You understand? It pains me. I cry because, listen, I used to work for a big company. I was earning good money. And every time, yes, when I drop at the aunt, I'd say, hey,
she has something.
Yeah, she has something. And then we cry. But then it means the poor father would enjoy a meal without knowing where the money comes from.
Oh, Mama Angie, he's touched on something that I think we should have a completely different show about that.
You understand? And, and I keep on saying, Witty, should anything happen to me where, I mean, I'm divorced now. I'm a single father. To say that if one day I should lose my job or all what I'm doing and my daughter will be vulnerable and my daughter will play such to me, and whereby my daughter will come and say, "Dad, I brought you some food, and that food came in that way." Because sometimes what goes around comes around. But I pray to the Almighty that such must not happen. And that's what I preach to Abo Mama, to say, don't sell your daughter cheap. Rather share that pap and milk rather than selling, because immediately you sell your daughter, that man will never respect you as a mother, will never respect the father. He won't even respect
the very
young girl. Uzomshaya the way atanda ngakhona, because yes. you have actually given away mntwana wenu to this man, because maybe he can bring chicken in the house.
Yeah, but we'll have to definitely have another show. I think we'll have to have another show. Maybe a show with you, Ntate Mokoena, and a few guys. Another show with Mama Angie and some ladies and discuss this again, because we are running out of time. So Mama Angie, before we close, I know that you at the end of the book you wrote a prayer for us. And just very special. It really touched my heart. So I was going to ask if you can just please read that out to us before we close the show.
Okay. I start off by saying, because I was brought up in a Christian home, and when all else fails, prayer is my refuge. I firmly believe that my mother, Eleanor, was protected by God from seeing all the pain that I've written about in this book. I have thus chosen consciously to close this book with a prayer for an end to domestic violence. In one of my many prayer books, I came across the following prayer. Dear God, when I think of family, I think of a mother, father, and children, all living together and sharing mutual love, concern, and kindness. For some, however, family life is filled with pain, anger, and fear. The harsh reality of physical, verbal, and emotional abuse that is present in many families is a problem that must not be ignored. Father, guide all people so they do not resort to abuse of any kind in their relationships. Give those who have difficulty coping with their responsibilities the wisdom and the courage to recognize their problems and, when needed, to seek counseling. I ask you also to protect the children raised in abusive families from continuing the harmful cycle of abuse as they mature and become parents themselves. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mama Injima Gwetla. Thank you so much, Ntate Tsipungwena. We shall have you back on the show. I'll be back tomorrow evening on Side Ball Cindy at 7 p.m.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.